Yay. Good to go. Hi, everyone. Yes, just like you were talking about, I am in the same boat as to where I wish somebody would have told me about HSAs a lot longer ago. But I'm happy that I'm here today to talk about HSAs. But just to give you an idea, my name's Taylor Esker, like was mentioned, and I live in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I've been with HSA Bank for just a little over 4 years, and that is crazy to me. But I love what I do. I'm being genuine about that. I love talking about HSAs. These accounts have changed my life. And like I said, I wish I would have known about them a lot longer ago. So I want to be that person for you all to kind of help you understand this benefit and just the incredible opportunity that you have with the HSA when it comes to saving money for expenses now or even into the future when it comes to having money for medical expenses and retirement. And trust me, that's a big deal. So that's pretty much everything intro related that you need to know, I guess. Just that I live in Virginia Beach and I work at HSA Bank. Yay. So let's get started about what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a couple things. First, we're going to talk about the integration between Cigna and HSA Bank. Yes, these two companies are integrated together. Why does that matter for you as an account holder? I will let you know because I would want to know the same thing. Why does that matter to me? And then we'll talk about HSAs, what they are, how you can use them, who you can use them on. What you can use them on. We're going to answer a lot of really good questions today. And then you'll be thinking, okay, good. HSAs are really cool, but where is my HSA? How do I even get to it? And that's something that I will definitely show you. It's really important because I had that same question when I started. A lot of people think you go to hsabank.com. That's not where you go. You go through MyCigna, and we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about the investment options that you have and why it might be a good idea to start thinking about investing. And then we'll talk about a really important message that applies to everybody. And then questions at the end. If you want to ask questions live, you can ask me at the end. Or if you have questions throughout the presentation at all, just throw them in the chat and we'll definitely get to them. And you may see me adjusting a lot. My lower back is killing me. Some of y'all might be in the same boat. I'm trying to just kind of move around here. So let's talk about the integration between Cigna and HSA Bank first. You know Cigna. You know HSA Bank. Cigna handles your medical, HSA Bank handles your HSA bank account. And Cigna was really smart in combining these two companies together. A really cool animation coming up, combining these two companies together to create an integrated experience for you, the account holder, when it comes to your HSA. So, why does that integration matter for you as an account holder? As you can tell, this is a World Cup trophy. I'm a huge soccer fan. I still play soccer. But anyway, this is why this is important for you. That's why I want to show you why does this matter. This integration, when Cigna and HSA Bank came together to create this HSA integrated experience for you, it's all in the name of just making things easier for you to access your medical and your HSA by just going to one place. That's it. Just one place. MyCigna.com. You can access your medical stuff there, or you can single sign over to HSA Bank. And access your HSA account, but it's just one place to go, mycigna.com. That's it. It's amazing. And then you only have one phone number to call if you have questions about your HSA or anything medical related. Just one phone number. Where's that phone number located? It's on the back of your Cigna insurance card. It's also on the back of your HSA bank debit card. The same phone number is on the back of both cards. So what happens is when you call that phone number, it goes to Cigna first. Cigna will answer your medical questions, some very basic HSA stuff. If you want to really get into the details about your HSA, Cigna is actually going to warm transfer you over to HSA Bank. And they're going to, if there's a wait, they're going to put you at the very top of the list to have your phone call answered. So, some special treatment here by being on the integration, one website, one phone number. I see a question up there. We'll definitely talk about that. So, keep throwing the questions in the chat if you have them. One website, one phone number. Very easy. Medical claims forwarding to the HSA bank account for easy payment. This is a great feature. When you go to the doctor, that claim is going to pop up on your HSA Bank portal. It's going to go through MyCigna all the way over to HSA Bank. And you can pay your claim that way, just one or two clicks. It's extremely easy. I love it. It's a great feature. And then we're available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 7 days a week. So, again, any questions about medical or HSA, one phone number. That's it. Also, one website. This is a very easy, integrated experience for you. I think it's important to talk about your high deductible health plan. This is a plan that if you're on, you're able to open your HSA bank account. You're actually, if you sign up for this plan, your HSA bank account is automatically opened up for you, okay? But I think people get scared to ask questions about benefits. They say, what's a deductible? People don't like to ask those questions, okay? Because they feel like they should know this. But I was one of those people who had no idea what I was talking about before I started working at the bank. Benefits are confusing. So I want to go through this stuff really quickly so that we can all be on the same page. Because I was always one of those people who kind of got left behind when people were explaining stuff. So let's break this down pretty easy for everybody so we can move together forward. So this is your high deductible health plan. It's broken up into single versus family coverage, which is employee plus one or more. So for single coverage, you have a $1,600 deductible. What is a deductible? It's the amount of money that you're responsible for covered medical expenses before your insurance starts to kick in. All right, so you have a $1,600 deductible. So once you meet that, you're responsible for all $1,600 of that deductible. Then your deductible is met. Then you go into the coinsurance phase. You probably heard 70-30, 80-20, 90-10. You have a 90-10, which means once your deductible is met, your insurance is going to pay 90% of the cost of claims going forward, and you only pay 10%. Okay, so meet your deductible. Then your plan will pay 90% and you pay 10. And the most you're ever going to spend on this plan for the year is called your out-of-pocket maximum. That's the most you're ever going to spend for the year. And that actually includes your deductible. So that deductible counts towards the out-of-pocket maximum. That's $6,450 if you're a single. Preventative care is covered at 100%. So when you go, I'm actually going tomorrow to get this done. So good timing. But I go, to get your yearly stuff done, your blood work and everything. In most situations, that's covered at 100%. Okay. Now, the really cool thing about this plan is your employer is nice enough to be giving you free money into your HSA bank account. Free money. As soon as it hits your account, it's yours forever until you spend it. And we'll talk more about that. It's just broken up into full-time versus part-time. And I have a little legend up here to explain what it is. So full time is 30 or more hours a week. Part time is 20 to 29 hours. Okay. So if you're on full time, you work 30 or more hours a week, you're going to get $1,000 into your HSA bank account. That is a lot of money. That's amazing. If you're on part time, you're going to get $482 for the whole year. Okay. So if you think about it, you're able to use this money towards your deductible if you want to. So if you think about it, is your deductible really $1,600? It is. But if you're on full time and you get $1,000 from your employer that you're able to use towards that deductible, you really only have to come up with $600 of your own money towards that deductible. Okay, so the main point here is you're getting this free money and it's kind of helping relieve some of that deductible pressure, which that's a pretty low deductible anyway. But just trying to give you an idea of this money can be used towards that. Okay, this is free money into your account. It's wonderful. If you're on family coverage, employee plus one, your deductible is $3,200. So once that's met, we'll go a little faster over this one. 90% is what your insurance provider will pay. Then your out-of-pocket maximums are up here. There's an individual. If you're an individual inside of a family, you can meet your own first before the family does. Preventative care is covered at 100% again. If you're on the family coverage full-time, they give you $2,000 into your HSA bank account for the year. Again, that's a lot of money. Part-time, $910. So you have a great opportunity here because you're getting money into your HSA bank account that you can spend on a variety of things, which we will cover, but you can also use it towards your deductible. All right, so that's your health plan. I know these can be confusing, but if you have any questions about this, please, throw them in the chat. We'll make sure we help you, at the end. Okay, so now we're going to talk about my favorite kind of stuff, which is the HSA. And I always give this statistic. I mean, it's kind of an older statistic, but I'm sure it's still pretty relevant, plus or minus, 10% or so. But 89% of employees have a hard time identifying four basic attributes of an HSA. Okay, so if you think about it on your own, can you name four basic attributes of an HSA? There's quite a few things like triple tax advantage. You can start and stop contributions whenever you want. You can invest the money. There is no use it or lose it. So many great things about the HSA that people just don't understand. And that's completely fine. That's exactly why I'm here. I'm going to help demystify this whole thing for you, break it down in a way that help me understand this stuff, because I need people to break things down very easily for me. So this is how it helped me understand. We're going to start by defining what an HSA stands for, because I don't like acronyms. So HSA stands for Health Savings Account. When you see these last two words here, savings account, what does that make you think of? Just first thing that makes you think of. Makes me think of a bank account. Because that's funny. That's all that an HSA is. An HSA is just a bank account. You get a debit card to it, online bill pay. It is a bank account. I'll say that a lot. You're probably going to get tired of me saying it. But that's all this is. However, can anybody just go off the streets and open this HSA bank account? No. In order to open this HSA bank account, you have to be on an HSA eligible health plan, a high deductible health plan. That plan I showed you a second ago, that is an HSA eligible health plan. So once you sign up for it, your HSA bank account is automatically opened up for you. Okay, so it's a bank account that you have to be on a certain health plan to get. Money goes in tax-free to this account. The more you put in, the more it lowers your taxable income. You use this tax-free money in this bank account to spend on qualified medical expenses tax-free. I'll cover some of those in a little bit. The big thing about this account that people get confused on is they think it's like an FSA, where there's a use it or lose it. That's not the HSA. The HSA, there is no use it or lose it. Any money left over at the end of the year, you just take with you to the next year and continue to grow that balance year after year if you want to, and really set yourself up for the future. Okay, so again, no use it or lose it. I will repeat this at some point throughout the presentation. I think the next slide, actually. Okay, so one more time. HSA bank account, you can open because you're on a qualified plan. Money goes in tax-free. You use that tax-free money on medical expenses tax-free. And then there is no use it or lose it. Now, one exception to the tax-free of the account. I told you the money goes in, it's tax-free. If you live in California or New Jersey, those are the only two states that need to pay attention. If you live in those two states, you need to pay state tax only on contributions and growth on your investments. California and New Jersey has to pay state tax only on contributions and investment growth. Everywhere else in the United States, completely tax-free. Okay? Huge deal. So here's some of the foundational elements of the HSA that everybody needs to know, in my opinion. This is what an HSA is to me. These accounts, I'm gonna say this again, please forgive me. These bank accounts, by the end of this presentation, you're gonna know these are just bank accounts, are triple tax advantaged. That sounds incredible, but what does that really mean? It means that money going into your HSA, we talked about that, contributions are tax-free. Money growing if you have it invested is also tax-free. And when you take that money out to spend on qualified medical expenses, that's tax-free too. Money going in, money growing, money coming out on qualified medical expenses, all tax-free. There is no other account out there that has a triple tax advantage. This is the only one. It's phenomenal. There is no use it or lose it. Hopefully we know this by now. I hope we do. There is no use it or lose it, everyone. Hello. Investment options. Once you get to $1,000 in your HSA bank account, you can start thinking about investing some of this money. And remember, growth is completely tax-free unless you're in California or New Jersey. State tax. But everywhere else, growth is completely tax-free. And it does not count as a contribution towards your HSA. So it doesn't go towards those IRS maximum contribution limits, which I'll talk about in a second. But there's a huge opportunity for investing with the account. Okay. So first step, save $1,000. You can invest everything over $1,000. I'll talk about more about investing and what you can invest in a little bit later. Anybody can contribute to your HSA. Up to the annual contribution maximum set by the IRS. Okay, so anybody can put money into your account. We know that your employer does. You can. Your neighbor, I don't know why, but they can put money into your HSA bank account if they want to, at the tax benefit of you, the account holder. But all the money that goes into your HSA, whether it be from your employer, from you, from your neighbor, from your grandparents, all that money counts towards a maximum that the IRS sets, our best friends, the Internal Revenue Service. They set a maximum amount of money that can go in every year. Not how much you can have in there, but how much you can put in every year. Okay, so all those contributions count towards that IRS maximum, and I'll show you what that is shortly. Once you're 65, you can use this money to pay for Medicare tax-free. You can also reimburse yourself for qualified long-term care insurance premiums. And then this one is one of my favorite features right here. It's not a well-known feature, but you can reimburse yourself for qualified medical expenses anytime after your HSA is open. Makes sense, right? Probably not. If I was you, I'd be like, what are you talking about? So I'll just give you an example. This is something that might happen to you. It happened to me. It's pretty simple. There's a variety of ways you can use this. This is just one simple way. I go to the pharmacy to get a prescription, and the pharmacist says, Taylor, your prescription is $20. And I say, cool, let me grab my HSA card because I have money in there, and this is a qualified medical expense. I left it at the house. Dang it, I left my HSA card at the house. I know exactly where I left it on the kitchen counter. That's fine. I have my personal checking account card with me. I'll just use my own personal money for this prescription, not the HSA. So I use $20 of my own personal money out of my checking account for this prescription. I go back to the house, take my HSA card off the kitchen counter where I left it, and I can go to the ATM if I want, swipe it because this is the bank account, and pull $20 out of my HSA if I have it in there and put it straight in my pocket, tax and penalty free. Because all I'm doing is reimbursing myself through the HSA, that $20 that I spent of my own personal money on that prescription. Okay, I'm allowed to do that. There's no time limit on that reimbursement. I can get that reimbursement today if I want, tomorrow, a week from now, 15 years from now, 30 years from now. It doesn't matter. It's from the moment that you open your HSA forever forward, you can use this reimbursement feature. Okay, again, there's a lot of strategies around this. If you're curious, let me know. But if you do use this reimbursement feature, save a receipt. Because if the IRS decides to audit you for whatever reason, right? We don't, it could be for whatever. And they're looking at your HSA and they say, why'd you move $20 from your HSA to your own personal account? Or why'd you take $20 out of the HSA ATM? And you can just point to that receipt and say, I'm just reimbursing myself for this expense that I paid in my own personal money. Okay, so there's no time limit. Huge feature. Some people use credit cards and they like to get points, right? So maybe they throw all their medical expenses on a credit card and then they take the money out of their HSA, pay the credit card off. Okay, so there's a variety of ways you can do this. Some of you were like, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea." I was that same way. I was the same way. So once you're 65, this next one here with the car. Once you're 65 and let's say that you don't want to spend any of this money on medical expenses. You want to buy a car with it. Okay. Once you turn 65 and you want to buy a car, for example, that's a non-medical expense. You're just going to be taxed. There's no penalty at that point. It's, your money kind of opens it up to what you can use it on once you turn 65, kind of like a 401k at that point. If you're spending it on medical expenses, it's tax-free, right? If you're younger than 65 and you want to buy a non-medical expense, like a PlayStation 20 or something when it comes out, that non-medical expense is going to be taxed and you're going to have a 20% penalty. Okay, so one more time, younger than 65, non-medical, taxed, 20% penalty. 65 and older, non-medical, just taxed. There's no penalty. Okay, that penalty goes away at 65. Pretty big deal. And then you can make contribution changes whenever you want. This is a huge deal. You're not locked into a certain amount for the rest of the year. If you can start it, stop it, increase, decrease, whatever. You don't have to wait for a qualifying life event or open enrollment. These are very flexible in that way. You can adjust them anytime you want. Right. So this slide right here is just to say that the HSA, again, you're going to get tired of this. I hope you know this by now. The HSA is not a health plan. The HSA is just a tax advantaged bank account that you're able to open because you're on a certain health plan. And I always talk about taxes and tax-free. And I was one of those people, when people start talking about this, I would just glaze over. And I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about. And then I would lose the rest of the presentation. So I want to, again, get everybody on the same page. Well, what I mean when I say this is a tax-free account. Okay. I'm going to give you an example of somebody who has an HSA versus somebody who does not have an HSA. And a lot of you probably know this already, but For those of you who don't, I like to see pictures in story format. This helps me a lot. So this is somebody who does not have an HSA. Okay, no tax advantage bank account to put money into. He makes $50,000 a year. Let's say his name is Morty. Morty makes $50,000 a year. Let's say he gets taxed on that money. Don't worry about the tax rate. The important thing is that he's getting taxed on this money. Okay, let's just say it's 30%. Then he has medical expenses. That's after tax. Tax has already been taken out. Then he's got medical expenses. It's all after tax money. So he ends up at the end of the year with $33,000 in his pocket. Very basic. Taxes, medical expenses. So this year, Morty says, you know, I'm going to sign up for that high deductible health plan, and I'm going to get on that HSA that everybody's talking about, and I'm going to put $2,000 into that HSA. So because he put $2,000 into his HSA, he was able to lower his taxable income by $2,000. So instead of being taxed on $50,000 like you saw earlier, he's being taxed on $48,000. 50 minus 2,000 is 48,000. So, because he moved that money in before taxes were taken out, he was able to save $600 from a tax savings standpoint. And the money, that $2,000, didn't go anywhere. It's still his. It's in a tax advantage bank account now that he can spend on qualified medical expenses, tax free. Okay. It's just he was able to save money from taxes. Okay. And now he has a bunch of money to spend on medical expenses anyway, but he ran that through a tax free account to lower his taxable income. So, a huge opportunity there. All right, who can open an HSA? These are the questions I get on a regular basis. You have to be covered by an HSA compatible health plan. I like to do a lot of repetition because it helps me learn. So hopefully you all understand that by now. You have to be on an HSA compatible plan. The plan I showed you at the beginning is one of those. So you can open an HSA if you sign up for that. You cannot also, though, be covered by a non-HSA compatible health plan. Okay, like a general purpose FSA, for example. You can have a limited purpose FSA and an HSA because limited purpose is just dental and vision. But you can't be on a general purpose and also contribute to an HSA. It doesn't work that way. You cannot be claimed as a dependent on another person's tax return unless it's your spouse's. You can't be enrolled in Medicare, can't be covered by TRICARE. You can't have access to Veteran Affairs medical benefits in the past 90 days for non service related issues. Okay. Who can you spend your money on? This is a really big question that I get too. You can spend your money on tax free for medical expenses, your tax dependents, and your legal spouse. Tax being the key word for dependents, and legal being the key word for spouse. I'll give you an example of my life just so maybe it helps you understand your situation a little bit better if this is you. My wife, she works for Cigna, true story, and she has single coverage. I work for HSA Bank and I have family coverage. I cover both of our children. So my wife works at Cigna, I work at HSA Bank. I mean, it's a perfect match. Come on. Again, my wife use her dollars on my son's medical expenses, even though he's covered by my plan and I work for a different company? Yes, because those are our tax dependents and the IRS sees us as a family unit. So, yes, even though she works for a completely different company, has it's her own plan, she can spend her money on the kids and me because I'm her legal spouse and I can spend my money on her and the kids. Okay. So, legal spouse, tax dependents. My wife even has a card to my account. It's called being an authorized signer. She can use my HSA dollars on her, the kids, me, and I have a card to her account too. How much can you put into your HSA every year? I told you that our friends, the IRS, they set a limit every year as to how much you're allowed to put into the HSA to get that tax benefit. So that's how much can. So for 2024, I think they've even just announced the 2025 numbers, and they always go up because of inflation. But for single coverage in 2024, the most you can put into your HSA just for the year, $4,150. The most you can put in for this year, if you're on family coverage, is $8,300. If you're lucky enough to be 55 years or older, you can take advantage of something called the IRS catch-up contribution. And all it's saying is that when you turn 55, increase your contribution limits by $1,000. So let's say we'll just say it's the year that you turn 55. So if you're turning 55 New Year's Eve, the very last day of this year, you could have started putting an extra 1,000 in at the very beginning of the year. So it's the year that you turn 55, increase those by 1,000. Okay, this is a look compl it looks complicated, but I'll help you understand this. So I told you that all contributions that go into your HSA count towards the IRS maximum, right? It doesn't matter where it comes from usually. All money that goes in counts, okay? So I have the 2024 contribution maximum if you're younger than 55 and you're on single coverage. It's $4,150. That's how much you can put in for 2024. If you are a full-time employee, 30 more hours, they're going to give you $1,000 into your HSA. Okay, so you have to subtract that from the max because it counts towards your IRS maximum. So 4150 minus 1,000, now the most you can put in is $3,150 for the rest of the year. Okay, if you're on part-time, they're going to give you 482 for that year. Subtract it from the max. Now the most you can put in is 3,668. Okay. So the main thing about this slide is everything that goes in to your HSA, even the employer contribution, it counts towards that IRS maximum. Okay. And with including all contributions, you can't go over for the year. And the next year, everything resets and you can start again. Just in case this is your situation, I want you to have a second to look. So what can you use your HSA dollars on tax-free? A lot of things. I mean, so many things. This is not a full list by any means. You cannot spend I'll just say if you've ever had an FSA, it's not the same account, right? But it's the same list of expenses you're able to use your HSA on. You cannot spend your money on stuff like cosmetic surgery, weight loss programs, air purifiers, that kind of thing. But you can spend your money on stuff like co-pays, prescriptions, feminine care products, over-the-counter medications, sunscreen for the beach back here, dental, vision, chiropractic care. I had adult braces for 3 years. It was not fun, but I used my HSA to pay for the whole thing. I ran all my expenses through that tax-free account and lowered my taxable income. So I'll also say that there's a website that I don't mind recommending. It's a good way to look for qualified medical expenses that you might use on a regular basis. HSAstore.com. HSAstore.com. I have no affiliation with them. I just know that everything on there, the guarantee is HSA FSA eligible. So it might be a good idea just to kind of go look through and see some things that you maybe had no idea you could use your money on tax-free. Okay. If you want a full list of qualified medical expenses, just go to hsabank.com/QME. QME stands for qualified medical expenses. Or if you're like me, I just go to the internet and I type in publication 502 and it's going to be on the IRS website. It's a PDF that has all your eligible medical expenses, medical and dental, tax-free. And that's publication 502 on the IRS website. Publication 969 is the book on HSAs. It's everything. It's everything you ever wanted to know. If you want to impress your friends, it's publication 969. 502 is eligible expenses. 969 is the book on HSAs. And this slide, this is probably the last time I'm going to say it, is really here just to drive home the point that the HSA is just a bank account. I think that was it. So when you think about going to, let's see, when you go to the store and you're buying groceries or you're buying a t-shirt or electronics, whatever, what are you using at the counter in most situations? For me, I just swipe my debit card and money comes out, no problem if I have money in there. Same thing with the HSA account. When you're at the doctor or you're buying a qualified medical expense at the pharmacy or wherever, debit card. If you have money in there, it'll go through. If you don't, it'll say insufficient funds. It's pretty straightforward. You can also get money out of the ATM. There's also an online bill pay feature. Remember I said we're integrated with Cigna? So when you go to the doctor, it'll show up on my Cigna and make its way all the way over to the HSA bank account where you can pay really easily. And then there's a checkbook option if you need a checkbook. And then medical auto pay, which is one of the least popular features, but it's there if you want it. It's just saying when a claim comes over to my HSA bank account, I want my account just to pay it. I don't even want to look at it. That's medical auto pay. It has to be turned on if you want to use it. If you don't like it, just turn it off. So that's four ways to pay for expenses, get money out, debit card, online bill pay, checkbook, medical auto pay. All right, that's HSAs in a nutshell. But you might be wondering, that's cool, but where is my HSA? And I want to make sure I show that to you. A lot of people think you go straight to hsabank.com. That's what I thought. It seemed pretty logical to me. But don't forget, we're integrated with with Cigna. So you're going to go in through My Cigna first. My Cigna, and then you're going to single sign over to HSA Bank. And I'll show you how to do that right now. Go to My Cigna, enter your information, log in. And there's two ways to access your HSA account. At the very top, there's a spending accounts tab where it's got your HSA section. I'm looking up here because that's where my screen is. And then see details down here under your HSA section. So there's two links here that will take you to the same place. It's a review page. It's got your available cash balance, investment balance if you have any, recent transactions. And then that button right there is your single sign-on to the bank. Hey, that's what you'll click to get over to HSA Bank. And pretty straightforward. This is a what the homepage looks like. It's got your cash balance, any investment balances that you have. And if you scroll down a little bit farther, you will see an I want to section where if you want to start investing, there's a manage investments button where you can start doing everything. And then this is the recent transactions area I was telling you about, where if you have a claim, it comes up under your portal and you can just pay it that way. If you can't tell, I'm a huge soccer fan. Again, if you recognize any of these names, give me a thumbs up. I feel like I'm alone with soccer sometimes. No one seems to like it, but it's the biggest sport ever. So thank you, Brian. You're the man. So let's say you got Messi here, Mr. Eight-time Ballon d'Or winner. He has a bill to pay. You can tell because there's a red dollar symbol here. Kalia, yes. Okay. There's a red dollar symbol here. And Eric. Okay, this is great. I'm in good company. So this is a bill. He's got a red dollar symbol here and there's a pay button. That means that he has to pay this bill. Okay. If there's a green dollar symbol, it's already been paid. So view full table. If you want to get a full list of all of your expenses, you can sort them, export them in a variety of ways. It's really nice. And then a quick link section down here at the bottom where it's got a variety of things that are really important. Order debit cards, update beneficiaries, a little foreshadowing about later, and then adding an authorized signer. And then I told you can add an external bank account. Well, I didn't tell you that, but I'm telling you now. In order to reimburse yourself, I talked about that feature where you can move money from your HSA to a personal account or out of the ATM. This is a good way to get money in or out of your HSA, adding an external bank account. You can just move money back and forth. And then if you scroll a little bit farther down the homepage, there's a spot to keep track of your contributions. And it'll just tell you what year it is, what your maximum is based on your contribution amount. Wait, based on your coverage tier, excuse me. And this lighter green bar is how far along are you towards reaching that maximum? Okay, so it's up to you to keep track of all this stuff. You're gonna get reminders in the mail. Just this is where you keep track of that. All right, this is another one of my favorite parts to talk about because it's such a huge opportunity, and I wish someone would have talked to me about this a while ago. So let's talk about investing real quick. I don't have too much time. A lot of people don't even know they can invest with their HSA. And then when they immediately think about investing with their HSA, they're like, I'm thinking of it through the lens of a traditional retirement vehicle like a 401k, where you put your money in. And you just sort of kick that money over the retirement wall because it's gone, right? We can't go into our 401ks and grab money out whenever we want. Usually it'll be, penalized sometime, at least taxed, right? It's just the general knowledge. We don't go into our retirement and grab money out before retirement. It's just not what we do. With the HSA, completely different. Just because you invest that money into your HSA investment account does not mean you have to like kick it over that wall and never touch it again. If you need that money the next day, you can sell your investments, take that cash, move it back into your HSA bank account without any issues, and have it ready to spend on medical expenses in like a day or so. Even the growth is tax-free and does not count as a contribution towards your IRS maximums. Huge opportunity. A lot of people don't realize this, but it's a huge opportunity. That's why I told you there's not a limit as to how much you can have in your account, just how much you can put in every year. And growth does not count towards that maximum. Why is this not? There we go. So what do you have to invest? We have two options. We have Devenir, which is just mutual funds. Okay. It's 30 mutual funds or so. And let's just say that you're somebody who says, yes, I want to invest, but I have n like no idea what I'm doing. I need some help. Please tell me where to put my money. The guided portfolio selection tool at Devenir has a tool. Oh, that is the tool. And it asks you seven questions. And based on how you answer those questions, it's going to recommend where to put your money. It's going to say, oh, we'll put 30% into here, put 40 into here. It's very easy. Okay. Guided portfolio selection tool for people who need some help. And then there's Charles Schwab on the other hand. Charles Schwab is the entire investing world at your fingertips. You can invest in whatever you want to invest in: stocks, bonds, ETFs, 24,000 mutual funds. You can trade options if you know how to do that. Okay. It's The world is your oyster. So anything you want to invest in, well, except for cryptocurrencies, you can't do crypto, but pretty much the entire market is fair game. That might be more geared towards somebody who's like, yep, I know what I want. Please just step aside, let me handle this. I know what I'm looking for. We now have the ability to do fractional shares. And some of you might not know what a share is, and some of you do, which is great. But again, I want to help everybody understand this. So a share is just a unit of ownership. It gives you a one voting right of a company, okay, like boards of directors and stuff. Some people don't want to spend $830 on just one share of Eli Lilly, for example. I only have $5. I want to buy a small portion of ownership of that company. I can do that now for as little as $5. It's called fractional shares. It's a small portion of ownership of a company, and it's a great way to kind of get your foot in the door. All right, so you can do one or the other. Devenir, Charles Schwab, or you can do both. I do both. I have some in the guided portfolio tool. I also have some in Devenir or Charles Schwab with individual stocks. So I'm gonna have a quick discussion with you, and then I'm gonna make sure I have plenty of time for questions. Don't worry. But this is a really important discussion. So if you all could pay attention to this among all things. So I always talk about how I wish somebody would have told me about HSAs a long time ago and would have introduced this idea to me of investing with the HSA, and why might it be a good idea to invest, right? Because you don't have to, but maybe it's a good idea to start thinking about it. Okay, and I'm gonna ask you three questions, and you don't have to answer these, but I want you to start thinking about this. This is a question that I wish somebody would have asked me. Question one: how are you going to address medical expenses in retirement? That's question one. Question two is: how much money are you gonna need for those medical expenses in retirement? Question three is, where is that money going to come from? Your 401k? Let's talk about it. So there's a lot of studies out there that say you're going to need somewhere between $300,000 and $600,000 in retirement for medical expenses. That's an average healthy 65-year-old couple. And I look at this number and it blows my mind every time I see this number. I will be honest with you, I don't know if I'm ever going to get here. That's fine. I don't think the idea is here to scare anybody. I don't think this slide is here to scare you. I think it's really here to get you to start thinking about this. Just think about this concept. Where is that money going to come from? Because the way I see retirement is the name of the game is we got to make our money last as long as we can because we don't know how long we're going to need it. Our money in retirement is supposed to last us forever. How long is forever? We don't know, but somehow our money's supposed to last us that long. It's crazy. And the way I see a 401k is a 401k serves a very important, very specific purpose. That 401k is supposed to be your paycheck for life. supposed to help you live that lifestyle that you did before you retired. You want money coming in on a regular basis forever, so you don't have to go back to work. That's the idea. So my next question is, if you start chipping away at your paycheck for life, your retirement, with those dollar figures right there, you're probably doing the math in your head already. Is your money going to last you as long as you want it to in retirement? It could if you've been doing a good job of saving. I think it just depends on your situation. So maybe it makes sense to start thinking about setting money aside for that very specific, very important purpose. Tax-free money in retirement for medical expenses. It's everything, okay? And how incorporating an HSA into your overall strategy, not your only strategy, but your overall, can really help prolong the life of your money in retirement, which is what you want. You want your money to last forever. So I don't have a whole lot of time to talk about this. I have like three more slides left. But I just wanted to really quickly talk about, let's just take a 401k, for example. Let's put 50 grand in there. Starting at 65, I'm taking $5,000 a year out for medical expenses out of a 401k. Tax assumptions here, money's going to run out at about 74. Because everything coming out of my 401k is at least going to be taxed. It doesn't matter if it's on medical expenses or not. Let's put 50,000 in an HSA. Starting at 65, I'm taking $5,000 a year out again for medical expenses for my lower back pain that I'm currently having. So $5,000 a year runs out of money at about 80. Look at how much slower of a burn rate that money has. It can last you an additional 6 years because everything coming out of that HSA is tax-free on medical expenses. So you're getting all 50,000 of those dollars. Okay, so start thinking about this. I just wanted to plant that seed. You don't have to do whatever you don't want to do, but maybe it's a good idea to start thinking about how you're going to approach medical expenses in retirement because you might know some people right now that are going through this and it is not cheap. All right, so taxing, I'm not going to go into detail. Just know that you're going to get forms in the mail. When it comes time to do your taxes online, it'll ask you if you have an HSA. I always say yes. It'll say grab form number, blah, blah. Look in this box number, put that amount in. It's very easy. Okay, just don't throw your tax forms away. All you're doing is reporting to the IRS how you're using the account. And then the last thing I'll talk about is designated beneficiary. What happens to your HSA if you pass away without a beneficiary? Your HSA at that point is no longer an HSA. All the money in there becomes part of your taxable estate. It all goes through the probate process, they call it the legal process, and it is a nightmare for your loved ones, your spouse to access that money. It could take up to a year for them to get access to that. Okay, while it goes through the whole legal process, that's the last thing they want to be dealing with when they're going through a hard time. So please set your family up for success. Take 5 minutes. Designate a beneficiary for your HSA, please. How do you do it? My Cigna, HSA, visit HSA Bank. There's a quick link section halfway down the page, update beneficiaries, or under your profile summary, there's an add beneficiaries button. And then when you get here, make sure you have their social because people get here and they're like, I don't know that. I'll do it later. And they never do. So make sure you have their social ready to go. It'll save you some steps. And then this is the last slide that I have before questions. I gave you a statistic at the beginning of the presentation. It said 89% of employees can't identify four basic attributes of an HSA. This is way more than four. I don't think we're part of that statistic anymore. We know that they're triple tax advantage owned by you. If you leave your employer, just take them with you. They're portable. Money can be invested. You can start and stop contributions whenever you want. No use it or lose it. You can use that reimbursement feature. When you turn 65, non-medical is just taxed. That penalty goes away. And then please, please, please designate a beneficiary. And with that, I know we have a lot of questions, but I want to make sure we get to those. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Let me see the chat. I'm going to pop the chat out because it's really small and I'm going to read it here.